Good morning. It's 8 o'clock. This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Tuesday, November 13th, 2012. The North Fork Valley is now home to a new form of green electricity. On Friday, Oxbow's Elk Creek Mine officially launched a 3-megawatt project generating electricity from methane gas. KVNF's Ariana Brosius reports that the project is the culmination of years of work from an unlikely alliance involving the mine, a gas company, utilities, and the uber environmentally conscious Aspen Skiing Company.
More than 100 people turned out for the official ribbon-cutting ceremony at the Elk Creek Mine near Somerset. The diverse crowd, which included state and local government, coal miners, environmentalists, and ski fanatics, was reflective of the different partners responsible for getting the project off the ground. Up near the mine entrance, a loud hum drowned out voices, so project manager Julian Husick was forced to use a megaphone.
Exciting to see it come together.
The fan ventilates the mine to keep methane concentrations low. Methane gas is released during the mining process and has to be vented for the safety of the miners. Too much can cause an explosion. And until now, Oxbow, like almost every other coal mine in the country, has been releasing that methane into the atmosphere. That's controversial because methane is a potent greenhouse gas. Auden Schendler is the vice president of sustainability for Aspen Skiing Company, which financed most of the $6 million project.
Methane is the natural gas you use in your stove and in your furnace. So why waste it? Capture it. And that's all we're doing. We're burning it in a turbine. Think of a diesel generator that runs on methane. And that makes electricity. It goes into the grid and we sell that power.
And Aspen Ski Co. is buying all of that power, about 24 million kilowatt hours annually. That amounts to the resort's entire energy needs for the year, supplying 4 mountains, 17 restaurants, and 3 hotels. Schendler says as an environmentally responsible ski resort, they're excited to get green energy from a local source. Tom Bessel's company has been working on coal mine methane projects for years and is the driver behind this project. He says it's been hard to get coal mines interested because the methane revenue is tiny compared to coal, and mines are reluctant to do anything that will impact their efficiency or safety.
That's why it's important to have a large-scale pilot project like this, to show that, yes, it can work. Here's what it looks like.
But in this case, profit wasn't what motivated the mine.
It was all to save a wasted resource and to try to do something for the environment.
That's Brad Robinson, president of Gunnison Energy Corporation, which owns the gas rights at Oxbow's Elk Creek Mine. Auden Schendler of Aspen Ski Co. says the differences in the partners' political persuasions, ideologies, and industries didn't stop them from working together.
We all came to realize that one thing we cared about was not wasting resources. Now, we care about the greenhouse impacts, but they don't necessarily. But we said, here's our common ground, and this is an opportunity to do something good for our communities and do something groundbreaking together.
And Robinson of Gunnison Energy agrees.
I want this project to be a model and an example that we can duplicate.
That's the next step. Even though Tom Vessels estimates there are up to 20 megawatts of methane energy available at the Elk Creek Mine, the project is currently limited to 3 megawatts, because that's all Holy Cross, the utility that provides energy to Aspen Ski Co., can purchase. Other local utilities are also interested in buying the power, but they're also limited by their power contracts. Vessels says that when he tries to market the coal methane electricity to utility companies, it often comes down to one question.
Are you renewable? No. And then conversation goes, well, you know, they've got no incentive.
But some companies and state legislators are working to change that. Last year, State Senator Gail Schwartz introduced a bill to make captured coal mine methane eligible for the state's renewable energy portfolio. Several environmental groups opposed the measure, saying it would take energy credits away from wind and solar. The measure ultimately failed.
The 3 North Fork coal mines together vent about enough methane to heat the city of Grand Junction.
That's Steve Wolcott, Coal Committee Chair at Delta County's Enfriewazert Conservation Center. His group supported the legislation last year and has been encouraging the area's coal mines to do something with their waste methane for years.
If there is such a thing as clean coal, it's the coal that's produced here in the valley, and By capturing the waste methane and utilizing it, it becomes even cleaner. And, you know, we believe that that combination, you know, makes this an energy source that's even cleaner than natural gas.
Back at the mine surface, the project leaders gather around a screen. One push of a button and the methane is now being turned into electricity. But despite the excitement of the day, further financial incentives will be needed to expand the project at Oxbow and to make this kind of energy viable at other coal mines around the country. For KVNF News, I'm Ariana Brocious.
Civil unions supporters in Colorado won big during last week's election, successfully targeting and ousting three Republican lawmakers over their opposition to civil unions. And, as Bentha Berkland reports, many Republicans feel the issue contributed to their losses.
Republican Representative Cindy Akery of Aurora is one of those lawmakers. Many factors contributed to her loss, including a more heavily Democratic district. But she says her views and vote against civil unions did play a role. Still, she says she has no regrets.
I stand by my vote. I voted my district. And at the time, my district is very conservative.
The gay rights group Fight Back Colorado poured about $200,000 into defeating Akery in her race and two other close house races.
Our mission was pretty single-focused, and we were really successful.
Roger Sherman heads Fight Back Colorado, which formed a few months before the election.
You know, this is something that we've worked real hard on. We had a great base of support here, and we also had people that were concerned around the country that helped.
During the last session, a civil unions measure had enough votes to pass the Republican-controlled House, but GOP leaders filibustered and ultimately killed the bill. Republican Mario Nicholas is with the group Coloradans for Freedom. He says Republican House leaders made a mistake.
A lot of activists became very energized, and so they were very motivated.
Nicholas says the failure of civil unions also shows the shortcomings of his party.
It needs to be a more caring party. It needs to be a party that is more willing to accept and understand truly human issues. Republicans are very good at logic, number crunching, and taxes and fiscal issues, but they need to humanize themselves. This was one of those areas they can do that.
Republican Representative J. Paul Brown of Ignacio narrowly lost his House seat in last week's election. Brown says he had no idea he was being targeted for his stance against civil unions.
You know, I really didn't know that that money was in the race until maybe a week before the election, maybe even less than that.
Now that Democrats control both legislative chambers, they say they plan to pass civil unions in 2013.
I think we're seeing a huge shift in this country on LGBT issues.
Newly elected Speaker of the House, Mark Ferrandino, sponsored the civil unions measure during the last session.
The leadership of the House was behind the times. The majority of the House was with the times. In this coming session, we'll be able to show that Colorado is the state that is about equality, not the hate state.
The November election also doubled the number of openly gay lawmakers serving at the State House, and Ferrandino will become Colorado's first openly gay speaker. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
In a related story, the Salt Lake Tribune reports that the Utah state legislature is now over 80% Republican, the second time since 1967 that it has been that heavily dominated by the GOP. Telluride's medical marijuana dispensaries are preparing for Amendment 64 to go into effect. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that San Miguel County voters gave the measure the strongest support in the state. The ballot issue's approval allows anyone over 21 to purchase, possess, and use up to an ounce of marijuana. However, the now differing regulations between the state and federal governments has yet to be negotiated. San Miguel County Sheriff Bill Masters told the Planet that federal prosecutors typically do not handle the vast majority of criminal marijuana prosecutions, unless a case involves more than 400 pounds. But he expects huge changes in the law as well as federal policies in Colorado. Adam Raleigh, owner of Telluride Bud Company, told the Planet that, quote, "In the long run, it's going to help our business because it's going to help more people shop for marijuana," end quote. But Raleigh says all the uncertainty with regulations, policies, and potential lawsuits will be hard for business in the short term. In the meantime, Many individual towns and counties in Colorado are expected to ban the sale of marijuana, though they will not be able to ban its consumption. As KVNF reported yesterday, Montrose City Council is already drafting and will consider a resolution to ban it. The Planet reports that, for now, Telluride's medical marijuana dispensaries will continue business as usual. The Park Service has agreed to gather local input on what events and activities should be allowed in Colorado National Monument. The Denver Post reports that this will be the first time anywhere in the country the Park Service has undertaken such a public input process. The process will examine many uses of the park, from paid guiding services to sporting events. The outcome could affect how other parks and monuments around the country deal with special events and uses. Colorado National Monument Superintendent Lisa Eckert told the Post she came up with the idea for the public input process even before she took over at the park last spring. One major point of contention has been the park's refusal to allow the USA Pro Cycling Challenge race to use the park. The Post reports that before it became so popular with cyclists, Rimrock Drive was the iconic, quote, Tour of the Moon stage of the Coors Classic International Bike Race in the 1980s. The Park Service public input sessions will be overseen by a third-party facilitator, but have yet to be scheduled. Eckert says officials at other parks and monuments around the country have told her they will be watching the process at Colorado National Monument for guidance in their own use decisions. And finally, if you own a small business in Montrose, Delta, Gunnison, San Miguel, Ouray, or Hinsdale counties, you may qualify to claim a state tax credit. Since the Enterprise Zone program began in the early 1990s, more than 5,000 businesses have been certified and 5,500 new jobs created. The program encourages investment in Western Colorado's business and nonprofit communities. The Enterprise Zone program also assists nonprofit organizations throughout the region. For more information, contact Region 10, a League for Economic Assistance and Planning. This concludes the morning newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.